go.
Let's do it.
All right. Frightmare Weekend.
DFW. Here's the sinuses, baby.
A little bit of freaking Nog Creek up here. Just rolled in. It's 1:18 in the morning of Saturday, May 5th.
May 5th. My son's birthday was yesterday.
Cinco de Mayo.
Hope you enjoyed May the 4th. Star Wars Day.
And
this is going to be an interesting episode because we already have a little buzz going.
We got more than a little one. But we need to get a normal one out because you're about to get hit with the flurry of irregular episodes. We just landed here in Dallas. It's, again, 1:20 in the morning.
By the time you hear this, you will have already heard our recap from this weekend.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, like we have to do the warlock thing and travel forward and backward in time like Doctor Strange.
Because we can.
And so we have to do a regular one to have our pace. Last week you heard Sirena's side, and you've heard some stuff in between, which we'll be recording tomorrow for the most part. Oh, Jesus. And this will be Scary Dad Podcast episode 84, landing on May 21st.
We got 16 till 100. We got to make sure we do something big for the 100.
And this one's entitled On the Road, because we are on the road.
On the road again?
We've been on road trip today. We're on the road now for Texas Frightmare Weekend, something that we've been looking forward to since
December, roughly.
Since last year.
Yeah.
I went last year, came home, was like, bro, we gotta go. And everything's all good. So we're gonna do On the Road. On the Road, we're gonna talk about road trip movies.
Road trip horror movies. Gotta make sure we're not talking about road trip. Road trip horror movies.
Yeah, well, we might talk about Cannonball Run or something, but
Smokey and the Bandit?
Yep. That knobby's fucking hitting me a little bit, so we're gonna go ahead and go into old business.
It's awesome, dude. I'm telling you.
All right. Normally, what I do is I read into the old business and I click on links and I familiarize myself with things. And I didn't have a chance to do that when I wrote down this old business, so I'm just gonna read you the old business because there's a body count. This old business has a lot of dead. But I don't necessarily know the whole story, so just bear with me. On this date, so May 21st, people sit down to record podcasts, and people, you know, go do whatever it is they do. But on this date, May 21st, 1871, French troops invade the Paris Commune and engage its residents in street fighting. By the close of the, quote, Bloody Week, some 20,000 communards have been killed and 38,000 arrested. How the hell do you arrest 38,000 people? I mean, 20,000 died.
Right.
But 38,000 people arrested, like,
where do you hold them?
That's a football field.
It's a lot of zip ties.
Oh, man. And I guess, I mean, it was 10 years later, but somebody decided they were thirsty. So on this date, in 1881, the American Red Cross is established. So that's nice. Feeding the thirsty and giving water to the hungry or
something like that.
Yeah. If you're a soccer fan, on this date in 1904, the Fédération Internationale de Football Association, the FIFA, is founded in Paris.
You know, I never got into soccer. I think the main reason why, the small town I grew up in, there was never youth soccer. There was baseball, football, and then basketball when you got a little bit older, and that was it. We never had soccer teams. My high school didn't have a soccer team.
Every single one of those sports is more entertaining than soccer. Watching kids play soccer, when I remember being a kid, like, kids playing soccer is fun to watch because the field is short, The kids don't really know how to play, so all they do is run around doing the best they can to kick the ball.
Kicking each other in the shins, and it's
about it. When you're watching professional soccer, it's nothing but running at all. Like, nothing but running. And I think in a 12-hour game, they score, like, once. And that's why the guy goes, goal! Because it's like...
it's so exciting.
Something actually happened. Okay. 1917. On this date, the Great Atlanta Fire, appropriately named the Great Atlanta Fire of 1917.
Makes sense.
Causes $5.5 million in damages, destroys some 300 acres, including 2,000 homes, businesses, and churches, displacing 10,000 people. But there's only one fatality, and that one's due to heart attack. Like, that's insane.
Right.
Like, most of the time, it's a weird thing doing the old business, because you look at body counts and, like, the number of dead, and, like, people used to die from, like, you know, from being burnt or being stampeded or like even in small events. This one is massive, and only one person died in this massive property damage, and that wasn't even because of the fire. Insane. You've heard about this one. This is one of those that's just bizarre. In 1924, University of Chicago students Richard Loeb and Nathan Leopold Jr. murder a 14-year-old Bobby Franks in a thrill killing. And that's when they decided they wanted to pull off the perfect crime. And so they plotted it out. They found this boy. They kidnapped him. They took him off into the boondocks and they killed him. And they were pretty quickly caught and tried and, you know, sent to jail or whatever. But, like... when Scott and I hang out, we're like, bro, what do you want to talk about on the podcast? We don't talk about, like, hey, you want to go find somebody to kill?
Yeah.
there's some evil in men's hearts.
Oh, yes. It has been proven time and time again.
Okay, 1927, Charles Lindbergh touches down in Paris, completing the world's first solo nonstop flight across the Atlantic Ocean. Not to be outdone, 1932, bad weather forces Amelia Earhart to touch down in Northern Ireland. She becomes the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. And now flights across the Atlantic Ocean happen all the time. Mm-hmm. I've been across the Atlantic. I've done that. You?
No.
Okay. Well, 50% of the people in this room have been across the Atlantic.
That's one that I have not been across.
All right. This is one of those I should have clicked on and learned more. But in 1936, Sara Abe is arrested after wandering the streets of Tokyo for days with her dead lover's severed genitals in her purse. So she's just wandering around.
It's balls in a purse.
Just, balls. I got balls. Who wants to buy some balls? That's not funny, dude. I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's not funny. Remember when John Wayne Bobbitt, like, that was national news that he got his dick cut off, and then he got it reattached and became a porn star?
Yes, yeah, I do remember,
like,
that.
We live in weird world, dude. We live in a strange time.
And Laredo went riding down the street and threw out the car window.
So they had to send a search party. Can you imagine being part of the search party?
That was big news when that shit happened.
Dude. It's like, what am I looking for? A severed wang, dude.
Balls attached, or is it just the wang?
I like to imagine it's like the people at the park with the little squeezy thing that picks it up and puts it in a bag. They're like, I got it. Put it on ice. And then they had to brush the grass off of it and take it to the hospital.
Some ants crawling all over there.
Dude. You know, they're like, well, we found it. And they're like, I don't even want it anymore.
It's all dirty.
I said, this is a weird episode, man.
It's just going to get worse.
Okay, on this date in 1992... After 30 seasons, Johnny Carson hosted his last episode featuring guests Robin Williams and Bette Midler of The Tonight Show. That's like 50% cool. Or like 66% cool. Robin Williams and Johnny Carson. Bette Midler, not so much.
But she was so hot in Yentl.
That was Streisand.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
All right, we're going to fast forward.
They look alike. I'm sorry.
Terribly much, too much. On this date, notable births. Happy birthday to Raymond Burr, Canadian actor and director. What was his show?
Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Was it Perry Mason? Okay.
Like, he'd sit there and be like, I'm losing the case. But I've got I've got some drama. You shall not convict. Happy birthday, 1952, to Mr. T. I pity the fool.
You know, I actually remember him from the bouncer competitions they used to play on NBC. Do you remember those sporting events?
I remember all kinds of weird stuff.
Before the A-Team, when he was just B.A. Baracus or whatever his name was. Well, I can't remember. Before B. Mr. T. But he was B.A. Baracus on the A-Team.
Yeah.
But he went by another name when he was doing the bouncer competitions. I remember those competitions very well on NBC.
I remember when he was in Rocky III. And he was badass in Rocky III.
It's my favorite Rocky movie, if that makes any sense. But
I remember, like, my dad was a big boxing fan, so we'd watch boxing matches. And this is before Mike Tyson. And normal boxing is a whole lot of defense, mostly defense. Yeah. And every now and then somebody would get in a punch.
You look for a counter. It's defense to look for a counter is what boxing is.
But then you watch Rocky, and, like, Rocky is chasing B.A. around the... Or Mr. T, or whatever. What was his name in the movie?
Shit, I can't remember. Dude, I'm drunk.
but Rocky's like chasing him around, just punching him in the face. And I remember Mr. T's head like flopping back like several times as
pop,
Rocky's
pop,
like,
pop, pop.
Pot, yeah. like several straight shots in the face, like undefended. And my dad's like,
it's not boxing.
Like, any one of those would have dropped that
your
guy.
Stamina. Yeah, just,
any
your stamina
one of those
can't
punches
withhold,
would have. And then, of course, Rocky has to get all bloody with his mouthpiece.
Come on, hit me more, hit me more.
Yeah. It's like, dad's like, no, you can't take that many face
punches.
You ain't
nothing. That's what he was like. You ain't like a woman. You ain't nothing.
Yeah. You can't take that many face punches and survive. Oh, no. You die.
Your brain is rocking against your skull. Yeah.
Like, any one of those would have taken you down. But Mr. T's a badass. I pity the poor fool who don't eat my cereal. Hello, Mr. Breakfast. Did you ever have Mr. T cereal?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I never did. I think they had already canceled it by the time Mr. T came out. Have you ever seen? For this episode, I'm going to write it down because we're close to Mother's Day. I got to find a pen. Have you ever seen the Mr. T's ode to his mother for Mother's Day?
No.
Oh my God! Are you okay?
And the break.
When we got a break, I'm going to show you this. We're going to come back here and be laughing so hard. Okay. Happy birthday on this date in 1960 to Mr. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Really happy birthday.
Happy birthday on this date in 1972 to the Notorious B.I.G.
My favorite is Tyson Holyfield before the fight. Jesse Jackson's doing an interview, and he goes, this is right around the shooting, because the notorious Big IG. I'm like, Jesse, you said the word, and then you spelled half of it.
It was like Mad TV or something, Saturday Night Live. They got young, who's the guy with the big hair? He was Mike Tyson's manager.
Oh, Don King.
Don King. It's like young Don King. He's like, whoa, whoa. It was a playground fight. Give me 10 cents. Give me 10 cents. He's like, I ain't got 10 cents. I only got 5. He's like, you can watch through a hole in the head. All right. I looked through this entire thing. There's no notable deaths.
Okay.
So nobody we really care that much about. That died on this date, May 21st. We're going to take a break before we come back to...
We'll go ahead and play the Mr. T Ode to My Mama.
Well, you couldn't be more than five. You're so fat they have to jack you up to take off your shoes. Yeah, well, you're so skinny your eyes are in single file. Well, you're so ugly your ears stick out to get away from your face. Well, your mama is
Hold it, wait a minute. Don't bring anyone mother into this. She ain't here. If it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. So remember, when you put down one mother, you put down mothers all over the world.
So listeners, keep this in mind. According to Mr. T, it's perfectly fine to fat shame the fat girl, but don't talk about her mama.
Don't talk about her mama. Did I not tell you that was awesome?
And just so you folks know, the visual is much better than just the audio.
He's got a little sidestepping dance.
He's got some camouflage gym shorts on. All his jewelry, and he's doing a little dance with three women wearing totally different outfits, looking like they just got off work at the bank.
It's not sexy chicks. They're bank employees. It's so great, dude.
Okay. Ready for the new business?
Let's roll.
Okay, in my world, the big new business this week, I don't know if you saw, but DC Comics has announced a bunch of television series they're about to start producing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the big one is the Swamp Thing series, which is going to be set in Houma, Louisiana. They are casting right now and getting ready to film. Synopsis is researcher Abby Arcane returns to her childhood home of Houma, Louisiana in order to investigate a deadly swamp-borne virus. There she develops a surprising bond with scientist Alec Holland, only to have him tragically taken from her, but as powerful forces descend on Houma, intent on exploiting the swamp's mysterious properties for their own purposes, Abby will discover that the swamp holds mystical secrets, both horrifying and wondrous. The potential love of her life may be gone after, may not be gone after all. So, I'm really looking forward to that one. That is big news to me.
Dude, is there gonna be like a little goat man popping up from under a table? Because if not,
he's a possum, dude. He was a possum.
If that guy is not in the show, it's not worth it. Swamp Thing's cool, but little possum man. he made that, dude. That movie was scary as hell. We had a whole Swamp Thing episode where we talked mostly about Possum Man. Like, that was a scary little dude.
Okay, with the success of Avengers: Infinity War that's going on right now, I just wanted to make you realize we're about to get overloaded with superhero movies. Between now and the end of 2019, there's going to be 15 different superhero comic book movies released. It's a lot.
That is a lot.
I'm going to go through the list real quick just so you know what to expect, what's coming. And the first one actually will have been released once this episode airs, but it hasn't been released as of the speaking of this article right now. Okay, Deadpool 2. Okay, and this is in order of their release dates. Deadpool 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Venom, Aquaman movie starring Jason Momoa, Hellboy, Glass, which is the sequel to Invincible, starring Samuel L. Jackson and
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable, yeah. Sorry. Dark Phoenix will be released next year. Captain Marvel, Shazam. I'm looking forward to that one.
Actually, yeah, I really am too.
May 3rd, 2019 is the anticipated release date of the Avengers sequel to Infinity War. Spider-Man Homecoming sequel is also 2019. The New Mutants is supposed to be next year. Wonder Woman 2. The Crow Reborn. Another Deadpool sequel starring X-Force is scheduled for next year. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And that's it. That's what we got coming up.
All right, so let's talk about those.
Yep. You can't say hated it yet.
No, can't say. So let's just go one by one. Go back to the beginning and like
Deadpool 2. Very much looking forward to it. Can't wait to see it.
Okay, yeah, Deadpool 2. Yeah, they did nothing wrong with Deadpool 1, so Deadpool 2 is pretty.
And you're bringing in a bunch of new characters. Brolin's in it, which is makes it kind of a winner already.
Right.
I'm ready to see Brolin and
dude. It's May 21st, so at this point, anybody who's gonna see Avengers has seen it. That guy, like, if you've seen Avengers Infinity War, Thanos is pretty much like the Hulk. He's all CGI. Except for his eyes. And obviously, his words, his dialogue. That dude brought a depth to a CGI character that is in just like, oh, I don't want to say sympathetic because Thanos is a bad guy, or he's a crazy guy. Like the thing about Avengers: Infinity War, which made it so great, was that Thanos himself. He's not evil. He actually has a plan. Like his whole thing that he's doing, it makes sense to him.
Yep.
And he's suffering. Like he's doing things that he hates to have to do. He's making himself miserable in order to accomplish it. And the depth of the character that Brolin brings to Thanos is just incredible.
Right.
The kind of stuff that they can't draw. You know, it's just, Avengers Infinity War was incredible. And again, I'm not saying that I'm sympathetic towards him, but, you know, my wife and I were having the conversation, and she's like, yeah, you know, he's crazy, he's mad. And yeah, he is totally. But you have to understand, you know, like, Thanos is sort of a Hitler character. And the thing about Hitler was, yeah, he was evil. But his evil did not displace his logic.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about things, you know, like, okay, well, the world is bad because these people exist, so therefore we will just get rid of these people. Okay, fair enough. You're everything about you is 100% evil. But logically, you can take step one to step 10 and it makes sense. That does not make sympathy, but it means, like, I know where you're coming from sort of way. You know, like, you're a human being that's just got a tortured soul. Thanos is a not human being, but he's got a tortured soul. Uh-huh. He's like, I gotta kill half the universe in order for everybody else to be happy. Like, no. Like, nobody's gonna be happy if you kill half the universe. But to him, it makes perfect sense.
Right.
And in the movie, it... Anyway, I don't want to spoil Avengers even in this late hour. But, you know, followed to its conclusion, he gets his little sunrise. He's like, I just want to smile on a world that's less hungry. Okay, well, fair enough. But you fucking killed half the fucking universe. Like, you are an evil son of a bitch, and you need to go. You need to die. You need to be defeated. And hopefully there's enough Avengers left to do it.
Okay, next is Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Looking forward to that.
I like Paul Rudd.
I really do, too.
Venom.
I'm looking forward to Venom. The first trailer that came out that didn't have Venom in it, I was like, that's like showing a picture of a king snake. It was like the biggest non-venomous trailer that I've ever seen. But it's actually starting to look cool. I'm digging it.
I'm excited about it. Aquaman. Hellboy. I'm really looking forward to that one.
The reboot without Ron Perlman?
Yeah, but...
Go tell him that tomorrow.
I still think it'll be a good movie.
We're going to see him tomorrow. You can just go up there and be like, hey...
He'll always be my Hellboy. Lou Ferrigno will always be my Hulk. But I still enjoy the Hulk.
Fair enough.
Glass. I'm looking forward to that because we were talking earlier, Unbreakable moved slow. It was a very slow build to a good movie. Hopefully this one will be a little bit faster. We shall see. But they're bringing the original cast back and everything for that. So Dark Phoenix, meh.
That's an X-Men...
Yeah, it's the 12th installment of the X-Men franchise.
Well, no, I mean, like, well, because when I say that's an X-Men, that's because the X-Men is not affiliated with the Avengers and the rest of the Marvel Universe, which Dark Phoenix really mattered whenever there was things like, not only, like, oh, you got Wolverine schnicked, but you also had Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, the Avengers, Captain America, everybody's involved. So we'll see.
Captain Marvel.
I'm looking forward to Captain Marvel.
Shazam.
Well, go back to Captain Marvel.
I'm sorry.
I'm looking real forward to Captain Marvel. I never read Captain Marvel, but she was a... I was texting my sister back and forth today, and she was like, oh my god, the Avengers. I was like, she's like, yeah. She said, I'm still in mourning over the Avengers. I was like, yeah, but Captain Marvel's coming, and so is Adam Warlock. And she's like, oh yeah. So, like, we're gonna fast forward over to the Avengers 2, but yeah, there's help coming.
Yeah.
So, Shazam.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Shazam is, without a doubt, my favorite underrated
Yeah.
Superhero. Very much so. I love Shazam. He's everything that they took away from Superman now. The greatest, one of the greatest Shazam stories is in the Justice League, this Justice League Unlimited TV series, the cartoon that came out, like 03, 04. And at some point, Shazam and Superman fight, and he almost beat Superman. And afterwards, he's standing in the watchtower, and all of the superheroes are like, we're going to go do bad things. And he's like, no, I grew up watching you be good in spite of unspeakable odds. You can't do this. And in a children's cartoon, it's like you don't justify evil for the greater good. You choose good, and good will overcome. Shazam is awesome. I remember being a little kid. I had a little lightning bolt on my t-shirt and walking out in the freaking front yard and being like, Shazam! And then, you know, the thing was, I became Shazam.
Yep.
My poor mom, all of her towels, my dad got a safety pin and, like, made a towel.
And they would tear a little bit.
And they would tear. So all of my towels, like, drying off. When like
had little holes in it.
Had little holes and safety pins. And sometimes the safety pins were open. You'd be drying yourself off and, like, poke yourself with a safety pin. And then, your first step is to be like, ow, I poked myself with a pin. But then you're like,
oh. Shazam cape.
Yeah. Clip the cape on and then fly away. I'm down for Shazam. I want that. Nobody knows. Everybody's like, when I'm like, I want Shazam comics, they're like, Shazam? He's supposed to be Captain Marvel. It's like, yeah, well, that was lost in the early 70s. We're in 2018 now, so get over it.
Okay, next coming up will be the Infinity War sequel.
Must happen.
Then Spider-Man Homecoming sequel. After that, New Mutants, which keeps getting pushed back. I'm kind of worried about that film. I think they might have screwed that up.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to really come out.
Wonder Woman Part 2, November of next year.
One thing they got for it is they got Kristen Wiig. She's not funny, so maybe she can...
Pull it off,
because there's nothing funny about Cheetah at all.
The Crow Reborn.
I got 6 thumbs down and 2 middle fingers.
The X-Force Deadpool sequel after that. I think that would be cool.
Could be.
As long as Deadpool 2 does well. Then we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Those movies are great.
So Yondu.
Still.
Yeah, I know. You know I'm a Rooker fan, though.
I know. But he died well.
Okay. On a serious note, John Altomura, who played Toxic Avenger, Toxie, in Part 2 and 3 of the Toxic Avenger series, has passed away. He died of a heart attack. His sister found him dead at his home. All right. Let's go to the lighter side of things real quick and do some laughing. How about that?
Okay.
Okay, local to Houston, a Heights woman was walking down the sidewalk one day, and she found a crack in the sidewalk. Okay, now what does that crack look like?
That looks like Thor hit it.
It looks like the Houston map of the highways grid.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Okay, now that's not the funny part. The funny part is, it ended up popping up on a Reddit thread. And on the Reddit thread, these two Reddit users commented on it. And I just thought these names were hilarious. iTaco Longtime commented, reported to TxDOT, they'll fix it in 20 years.
True.
Which was followed up by a comment by Poopface Texas. I didn't recognize it without an 18-wheeler on fire. This is the only reason I wanted to talk about that was the two Reddit usernames.
Did you hear?
That cracked me up since my son was Potato and my anus Junior.
Right. Did you hear that the Department of Transportation has decided they're going to drill underground tunnels under 45.
Really?
45 South Gulf Freeway. They want it's like this big thing that they're considering to do underground freeways on the south side of 45.
That'll work out well.
Okay, dude. For those of you who are not from here, we flood the entire city of Houston floods if we get a hard rain. A hard rain. I'm not talking about like a tropical storm or anything. If we get a hard rain, like thunderstorms in the area, there are certain parts of Houston that just go underwater and people lose their homes. And as best I can describe it to you, if you're looking at the city of Houston on a map, if you're looking at a bullseye or like a bullseye target and you go straight down on that target, that's the Gulf Freeway. It's 45 South. It leads to Galveston. That freeway from downtown Houston to Galveston Island has been under construction since my dad was a little boy. My dad passed away in 2014. He was born in 1948. He was a small child when his dad said, this freeway will never be built. It'll never be finished. It's been under construction since I was a child. At any time, Monday through Friday, Saturday or Sunday, 24/7, for the last 60 years, this freeway has been under construction in some way, shape, or form for like 70 years. And every time it rains, it floods and everything around it floods. And now they think that the best way that they're going to fix anything is to drill tunnels under it. Because when it rains and everything around it floods and the ground is spongy, soggy, there's literally coffins popping up out of the ground because the water table is so bad. Let's build a tunnel because they have those in New York.
It doesn't work here.
My dad said they'll never be finished. My great-grandchildren, well, his granddaughter's 7 years old. My father's father's great-grandchildren are coming up on a time where they're not going to be able to make it to Galveston out of traffic because TxDOT is so stupid. Can you imagine sitting in the meeting where they're like, every time it rains, the entire city goes underwater? They're like, let's dig deeper.
Let's make more of a bowl.
And somebody says, let's do that.
Turn it into New Orleans. We see how that worked out. Oof. Okay. Kenilworth Public School System in Pennsylvania had an issue with a phantom pooper. You know, we love our poop stories. Holmdel High School staff and the coaches alerted the school resource officer that, hey, we keep finding human poop around the track and field area around the football field on a daily basis. Every day we come out and somebody's dropped a Duke near the track. So they set up security, decided to perform a sting. You ready for this one? The Kenilworth Public School Superintendent Thomas Tramagalini was caught relieving himself on a daily basis in the morning before school started next to the track and football field. The $160,000 a year superintendent was the one that was the phantom pooper. He has now been publicly shamed and outed as the superintendent.
Like, you're the pooper.
What kills me is there are people coming to his defense. And the most interesting defense is maybe he was using the track to jog on And as everyone knows, when people jog, they tend to have to poop. And when you got to go, you got to go.
Fair enough.
This was a daily basis. This wasn't fair enough. One time.
It's like, I'm going to run around and shit every day.
Every day.
And he's also the one that's like, I can't imagine who would possibly be shitting on our track every day. But it was me. It was me.
Okay, I got one more that I got to give you. Just because this is another one that caught my eye the other day. Do you know what... Where's it at? Oh, wait. There's another one that got caught. Oh, my God.
There's another shitter?
No. It's worse than that. I was like, wait, this looks like the article, but no, this is actually a different article of the same thing. Have you ever heard of something called, where is it? Let me see how I pronounce this. Mechanophilia. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay. That is when someone gets sexually aroused by cars or mechanical objects.
Okay.
This woman in Kansas was arrested. Police got a call saying, hey, there's a naked woman running down the street towards the mall.
Humping cars?
Yes. When they found the woman, she was being chased by her two home healthcare nurses who said they were healthcare nurses, but they were not allowed to touch the woman, which allowed her to escape as she ran down the street naked, chasing a car that she was attracted to. The cops brought her back to her house where there was a Nissan Pathfinder parked nearby, which is one of the cars that gets her juices flowing. She ran up to the car, started grinding on it, telling the cops how this car really turned her on, till the cops finally convinced her to get her ass back in the house. There is such a thing, and people exist, and get home healthcare nurses to help them out with it.
Jeez. But they're not allowed to touch her.
Nurses aren't allowed to touch her.
She's like, I'm going to go hump this car. They're like, well, don't, but I can't stop you. God, dude.
It's in Kansas, dude. Not even Florida.
She's on her way to Florida, though. Like, oh, there's a better healthcare facility for you there.
Lots of convertibles. That's it for new business.
Hi. My name is Stephen King. I've written several motion pictures, but I want to tell you about a movie called Maximum Overdrive, which is the first one I've directed.
Wow. What in the dickens is going on around here?
A lot of people have directed Stephen King novels and stories. And I finally decided if you want something done right, you ought to do it yourself.
And who was driving it?
I don't know.
It was my first picture as a director, and you know something? I sort of enjoyed it.
What is going on?
I don't know!
I just wanted someone to do Stephen King right.
You want a war? You got one.
I just want to get the hell out of here.
So come and spend some time with me and my friends at the Dixie Boy. Spend some time in the dark.
Please don't let me in the dark.
Help me.
I'm going to scare the hell out of you. And that's a promise.
You're going to get us in an awful lot of trouble, man.
We already in trouble.
Maximum terror.
Jesus coming and he is.
Maximum King.
Maybe tomorrow will be our world again.
Dino De Laurentiis presents Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive.
All right, let's get back into
what. We got a show we're doing, you know that, right?
Yeah, we don't want to forget. Like, remember that couple of times that we talked too much and we didn't have any content right at the end? All right, everybody, we're gonna
get serious now.
This is episode 84 of the Scary Dad Podcast, and we're gonna talk about things that happened on the road.
How things can go awry on road trips. You take a wrong turn. You get bad directions.
So
you take the scenic route.
I ain't got shit to do with nothing. Let's just fucking talk about cars. All right. So I wrote a few down. This episode, by the way, we were supposed to do it on the road. Actually, I prepped this episode intending for Scott to read both new and old business.
It didn't work out that way.
And I only wrote myself down a couple of things to talk about because I didn't expect to be sitting in front of a microphone. I expected to be talking as we drove with the road noise in the back. Let me break it down for you. Like that. That wasn't a hooker or a bum, was it? I don't know.
Thanks for the ride, lady.
Right. So, we got some on the road movies to talk about. I only wrote a few down, but we're going to talk about
it. I got plenty.
So, we're going to start with Christine. 1983. John Carpenter. I recently reread the book. I read the book when I was a teenager. It made me want to freaking rebuild old cars. And I actually bought my dad helped me buy it. It was a 1950 Chevy 3100 full-size truck. Had that shit sitting in my driveway for a while. It was a really good idea that I was going to rebuild this old car.
Get it all mapped out.
Fucking A. a single wheel. A wheel. Not a tire. Not the tire. A wheel was $100. Yeah, when I was 16, I made $4 an hour working at the grocery store. My paycheck was like $80. That was really, really hard to
finish. No shit, dude.
Like, okay, well, I need four of them, and I need tires and balancing, and the brakes didn't work. It was called three on a tree. It was a three tree.
Oh yeah, I used to drive one of those.
It was a three speed transmission, a manual transmission with a really really deep clutch that you had to adjust on the steering column. It wasn't even
a floor shifter, right?
It was hard to drive. I learned how to drive it. I can drive a stick shift. I can drive a four on the floor, but I can't drive...
Three on the tree is different.
Three on the tree is freaking... You know, imagine just, like, having to hit the clutch and, like, reach up to hit your turn signal. It was weird. And then everything... And this was in 1993. So everything cost $100. Everything cost $100. And I'm looking at this thing being like, this is going to cost a couple hundred... $1,000 to rebuild. I did the best I could, and then I sold it. I actually rewired it. I made the headlights and the tail lights work, and I couldn't rebuild the brakes. I ended up selling it, but Christine fixed herself.
When she broke, when people messed with her, she broke down.
No, she did it. Yeah, she. It was Christine. Is one of the underappreciated Stephen King books.
I love it.
It's really one of the underappreciated Stephen King movies. It's a John Carpenter movie, and it holds up.
It's a great cast. It holds up very well.
I watched it not too long ago, and Stephen King got pigeonholed. It's like, oh, you got a demon hotel, you got a demon car, and whatever. Christine is really, really good.
Yep.
And it's not a road trip movie, but you really do. Like I really like to have an old. I mean, in Christine, it was a 58 Plymouth Fury.
Yep.
I can imagine just sitting behind the wheel of that thing, just hitting the gas and just like rolling down the road. Little George Thorogood. Of course, they'd use that in the movie. And then, Christine was mean, though.
Oh, yeah. Man. Evil. Evil incarnate.
She ran people down. What you got?
I got a good one for you. We talk about this movie every once in a while, but House of a Thousand Corpses.
I really want to taste the fried chicken. I really do. I just like, it's one of those.
A piece of my tasty fried chicken.
That's the.
Four friends on a road trip to write a book about offbeat roadside attractions stop at a gas station to meet Captain Spaulding. He takes them on his murder ride attraction. During the ride, they learn about a local psychopath named Dr. Satan. And decide to get directions to where he was hung. On their way, they pick up a hitchhiker, never a good idea, named Baby, who tells them that they were headed in the right direction, and it's right by our house. Just give me a ride, I'll show you where it is. Things went bad, needless to say.
They ended up mermaid taxidermy.
Fish boy.
So, I love Rob Zombie. I love him. It's one of those things like you can do no wrong, but as a musician, as a ringmaster, as a performer, as Rob Zombie, heavy metal guy, like I want to give you a hug. As movies go, especially like writer director, Corpses was good. Devil's Rejects
was better.
It was better.
Yeah.
But I always feel like he's trying to recapture Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
We're going to get to that.
We are. But the thing about Rob Zombie movies that always bugs me is that they're not really scary. They're just dreadful. It just kind of makes... It makes me feel like, okay, we were talking about it earlier, coming out of the Avengers movie. I walk out of the Avengers movie feeling sad because a lot of Avengers died and the bad guy won and it is what it is. But I'm feeling bad because it's like that without the jump scares and the horror part of it. It's like, it's kind of just gross and I'm just like, okay, scare me. Okay, well, I'm not really scared. I'm just kind of bummed. And whenever Zombie comes out with a new movie, I'm always kind of like, I don't know about my logic. It's going to make me sad. It's not like, dude, I can take horror. Like, I freaking don't have a problem with horror movies. But you, like, amp up the horror part of it without actually scaring me.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, okay, well, that's not scary. You're just gutting a deer. But instead of a deer, you're getting a person. It sucks. Now I just feel bad.
You got one?
Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, that's actually the next one I have on my list.
All right. I know that's one of your favorite movies.
I love Jeepers Creepers.
So roll into that.
Unique plot line. Brother and sister are heading home from college. While enjoying the scenic drive, they decide to take the scenic route for the sister. They are almost run off the road by a beat-up, rusted old truck. They continue their trip and come across an old abandoned church. They see that the truck that tried to run them off the road is there. They see what looks like a man dumping a body wrapped in sheets down a pipe that's sticking out the ground. So the brother decides, hey, we can't leave that guy over there. We gotta go check him out. Everything goes awry after that.
Uh-huh.
Big time.
Yeah.
Well, the Jeepers Creepers antagonist is a bad, bad mofo.
Advice to anybody?
If you see somebody dumping a dead body down a pipe, just go talk to the police.
Yeah,
don't go back and investigate. Don't Scooby-Doo it.
Yeah.
It's not going to turn out well.
That's always been my thing with Jeepers Creepers. Is like, you call somebody. When my wife was having our first child, the nurse came in and she's like, you know, she's talking to us. My wife's in labor. She's like, hey, mom, hey, dad, how's things going? Okay, we've got the heart monitors on you and everything's just fine. Everything's good. Dad, how comfortable are you with helping with the delivery? And I'm like, well, I'll be there. And then as things got closer, then this nurse came in and she's like, hey, you, grab a leg. And okay, fine, I'll grab a leg because I'm being told to by somebody in authority. It's a nurse. And then she's like, Dad, do this. Dad, do that. And I'm like, at some point, I've got my wife's leg thrown over my shoulder, and I'm like rubbing on her the side of her head. And they're like, hey, you do this. And I like, somebody more qualified than me has to work here. There's no possible way that I'm the best person to call on when you need help delivering a baby. Like, and I already told you no. Like, I'm not comfortable helping delivering a baby. Like, I just wanted to like sit there and hold on to us and like on shoulder to shoulder and like watch things happen. Now you're putting me to work being a freaking nurse attendant. No way. When you see somebody dumping a body, you don't turn around and go try to engage that person. You just go to the hospital, or the doctor, or the police, and you say, hey, police.
I saw this.
And I'm leaving now. Because otherwise, you'll hear little songs like, Deepers, Creepers, like, I've only ever heard this once, and that means you're going to die. It's like, okay.
Bless you. Okay. It's a road trip movie that didn't involve a car. I'll do the synopsis for you, then see if you can guess what it is. Film follows two backpackers named Paxton and Josh on a trip across Europe who befriends an Icelandic man named Ollie. The trio decide to check out Amsterdam. Woo! And while they're there, they meet a name named Lexi, who convinces them that they should make a trip to Slovakia due to all the beautiful women there. The group checks into a hostel and proceed to go out for the night with a couple of women they run into at the hostel. After a sexually charged evening, they awake to find Ollie gone. Where'd Ollie go? That night, they are slipped tranquilizers and awaken to a living nightmare of torture. Hostel. Eli Roth.
That was a good movie.
It's a really good movie. Excellent plot.
I can't
stand, hard to watch.
I can't watch that movie.
Very hard to watch.
Like, when we talk about, it's like, oh, you're one of those horror guys. It's like, fucking, I like Frankenstein. Like, you like universal monsters. I like metaphorical terror. I don't like fucking people getting their knuckles chopped off with
fire. I like Hostel. Hostel's cool. Hostel's cool.
It is, but I don't sit there and be like, I'll sit there and be like, I want to watch American Werewolf in London. Like, I love that. It's another road trip movie. Hey, it's a backpacker
movie. It's on the list, too, as a matter of fact.
Like, I'll watch that, and I'm like, okay. But that's got a supernatural, that's got a legendary take on it. That's not just organic frickin', hey, you've got a pain center in the middle of your brain, and if we poke this or chop it off, it's going to hurt you really badly and make you scream, and then all of the watchers get to enjoy that too. Because if you're watching something like Hostel and you're actually enjoying it, there's something wrong in your head. I mean, you can talk all you want about it, there's something wrong about enjoying that shit. It's fucking wrong, dude.
It's a rough movie to watch.
I mean, I will put it up there with like top 50 horror films or top 25 because it's scary as fuck because it's realistic. I don't enjoy watching it. I'm not gonna like, hey, I got an idea, y'all. I got a blender with some vodka and some bananas. Let's go so fucking sit down and watch some Hostel. Like, ain't nobody. Well, probably we're Frightmare Weekend. There's probably some people that think that's cool, but not me. I'm like, I'd rather watch Incredibles.
Let's throw one on your list real quick.
Zombieland.
Zombieland's a good road trip horror movie. That movie is.
It's an endless road trip.
There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to end up. It's the same thing everywhere you go.
They go to Funland, and it's just as bad there as
anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, Zombieland's one of those movies. It's kind of like Walking Dead, I guess. Walking Dead kind of jumped the shark a while ago because the thing about Walking Dead that makes it compelling is that it's not really the zombies that are the bad guy. It's other
internal struggles within the.
It's the other virus. Humans, yeah. and the insanity that.
It's like Lord of the Flies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like, okay, well now all the authority is gone. So now what are we gonna do? We're gonna establish our own authority and then fight over who's the boss. Zombieland. I remember, I heard good things about Zombieland, but I was kind of jaded.
Woody House, and you can't miss.
No. When I saw Zombieland, I was like, that is amazing. It was such a fresh take on the whole zombie genre, is that the people aren't really dead, they're just really sick. But if they bite you,
you're fucked.
And hell, the whole time he's talking about his dog, and then it turns out that he's not talking about his dog. Woody Harrelson's character is, he's mad. He would turn into the governor, or he'd turn into Negan.
Yep.
That is the guy who's going to really and truly save the world. There's a certain point in certain movies where there's the chaotic good, and then there's the chaotic evil, but the evil can turn its evil and spin it in such a way that I don't really know what I'm going to do, but I don't want to die, so yeah. I'll just follow him. Can you imagine Woody Harrelson's character like 10 years down the road after he's found enough survivors where he's just like, you know what? Just kill everybody you see. We got enough to start a colony. And if anybody else just we don't want to lose the thing we got, so just kill them all. He would too.
Yeah.
He's mad. But he's great. Love Woody Harrelson.
Oh, he's awesome, dude.
Okay, quick, we were talking about the movie, it's an old business. He's in Solo. Well, and he's in Venom.
Venom, yeah. He's Carnage.
No, he's in Solo, too.
Okay.
His hitman dad made the right connections. Because Woody is badass.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome. He's a great talent, man. I was watching Kingpin again the other day. He's amazing,
actually had to make vegan Twinkies for him to eat them in Zombieland. And I make fun of vegans. I will not make fun of him because that guy stands by his shit. And he's like, you know what? I will kill zombies all day long. I am not going to put a Twinkie in my mouth unless it's vegan. And they made vegan Twinkies for him to make to eat. Woody Harrelson can do no wrong in my book.
I'll let you go over to the last one. It's a great movie.
The Hitcher. When we talk scary, we talk about scary things. When we talk about, like, okay, well, it was Friday the 13th. Yeah, okay, well, that kill was scary and that kill was cheesy. The Hitcher or the Rutger Hauer. There's nothing not scary about that.
It's a scary ass movie.
The little Volkswagen where he's in the back seat waving and killing the family. He rips his girlfriend apart with a truck. There's nothing.
He just won't stop. He will not stop.
Yeah. There is nothing like funny about that movie. And he's like, I've been doing this for years. And the thing is, he's like, all you got to do is stop me. All you got to do is...
Because he can't stop himself.
He's like, just... The Hitcher is awesome.
That's a good movie. Classic stuff.
So okay. I did Zombieland and The Hitcher. It's your turn.
Vacancy. Have you seen Vacancy? Remember that one? Kate Beckinsale, Luke Wilson.
No, I haven't.
Okay, married couple about to get divorced. They're on a road trip back home. They end up, he hits a raccoon. Car starts giving him a little bit of trouble, so he stops at a gas station and says, hey, you know, something's wrong with my car. Can you check it out real quick? Make sure I can make it home. Gas station attendant checks it out and says, yeah, you're good. Go ahead and go. Car gets worse once they leave the gas station. They end up pulling over saying we'll need to go back and stay at the hotel that's next to the gas station. We'll come to find out the hotel is a front for a group of guys that make and sell snuff films. And it's at that point, they're just terrorized all night by these people trying to go ahead and kill them. It's a pretty crazy movie. It's another rough one to watch. It's a terrifying movie. It's kind of like Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Very much like The Strangers. It's not a fun watch.
Okay, so you said The Vacancy. I was thinking of that one with John Cusack. It's not Vacancy. It's where he's got the split mind.
I don't know.
It's John Cusack and. Basically, it's a road trip film, and they stop in the hotel, and there's a serial killer on the loose, and they're killing each other. And it turns out at the end that it's a single person with this thing going on in his head, and Vacancy. That's what it was.
This is called Vacancy, too. It's also Vacancy.
Okay, well, I'll have to figure it out. Sure.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Okay, we got two more left that we're going to go through. First, Hills Have Eyes. That's a road trip gone bad.
It's a really, really bad.
Get bad directions from somebody that you should have trusted, and then getting your family terrorized and killed.
Mostly murdered.
Yep.
And then once you murder everybody else, then there's somebody looking at you through a scope.
Yep. Once you think you got away, you haven't. There's more you got to deal with. And finally, the ultimate road trip horror movie, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Is it? Do you want to talk about that one, or do you want to talk about Maximum Overdrive?
Oh, we can talk about Maximum Overdrive. We can move on to that one.
We'll talk about Texas in a minute.
No, we can. Everybody knows Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We've talked about it enough on here, but we can go ahead and love some Maximum Overdrive.
You're just pulling into a truck stop. And all of a sudden, the aliens come.
A comet passes over, and all the machinery comes to life. It has got a vendetta.
Yeah, they don't like doing work. That's not a very good movie, but
Stephen King's Fever Dream.
Yeah. But it scared me when I was a kid.
Oh yeah.
And I love watching it. It's so much fun. That's the thing. I think
Little League team gets killed by a Coke machine.
I think Stephen King had enough market power at the time where he's just like, fuck it. Go. And it's like okay, the cars don't attack you, but the trucks do. But like Coke machines do, and like hair dryers do, and phones kill you because they had all those scenes.
Yeah.
Lawnmowers will kill you, like little small engine shit.
Steamrollers.
Like, steamrollers. It is the slowest steamroller run. Like,
and then a little Jeep with a mounted machine gun.
Yeah.
Beep, beep, really beep, fucks beep, you up. Beep, beep,
beep. And like, just.
Who made you?
And that guy is like, okay, so you've been like hunkering down, like been keeping low for like 3 days. And then all of a sudden the machine gun starts going off and that guy kicks open the door. It's like, what the fuck is going on in here? The machine gun's like, brrr, and like takes him out. He's like, okay, well, as logic stands, you should have been just keeping your head down. You wouldn't just kicked open the door. But who's manning the machine gun?
There's like, a motor on that.
Yeah, that takes a finger on the trigger. Like somebody has to be pulling that gun, and eventually it'll run out of bullets.
But the Goblin 18-wheeler was just creepy as hell when I was a kid. That was badass. And
they took that thing out with the rocket launcher.
Yeah.
And it just kept coming. Like, you know, that thing was stuck on there with zip ties. It didn't make it more evil. It was just in another one of the trucks.
Right.
I love Maximum Overdrive.
Actually, it's an awesome movie.
Stephen King's fever dreams are better than most things. Like, dude, just give Stephen King the reins to everything. He does have a little bit of hubris, though. He does have some stuff that didn't go as well as
it should have, or he wanted it to.
Right.
Well, I'm done.
Ah, fuck it. I am, too.
It's an episode.
That is.
Time to get some rest, get ready for Texas Frightmare weekend tomorrow, get some autographs, meet some people.
Yep. I'm out too, guys.
Stay scary.
Oh.
Later.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide, with the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft to furl the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed, but I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below. They buried me in that gray tomb that knows no sound, but I'm still around. I'll always be around, around, and around, and around, and around. I fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side,
I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain, but I will remain. And I'll be back again and again and again.